All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Carrington here, Rob here, taking you up until 6 o'clock. If you missed it, we were just talking about the perfect attendance kid. This kid never missed a day of school the entire time he was there.
Excelsior Springs graduating senior Jake Smith is anything. He's punctual. You can bet he was on time at this week's graduation. The school district giving Jake a very unique award, a perfect attendance award, but not for just his senior year, but every year. He went to school since kindergarten. Smith never missed a day of school, ever. Says he was first told about his perfect attendance in second grade, and it became a goal to attend every class every day. The district says it's an accomplishment that's pretty rare. It's approximately 2,600 days of school without missing a single day. They say it took a little luck and a lot of commitment.
It certainly took a lot of luck and a lot of commitment. Someone on the text line says, you have to be nice to kids. The world will smash them soon enough. You're right. The world is going to smash them soon enough. You know one thing the world teaches us once we become adults? Being at work every single day is incredibly overrated. Incredibly overrated. Some of you go to work, you do exactly what you're supposed to do every single day. Your bosses don't notice. Your boss doesn't really care. Like, part of our responsibility is to tell kids the truth about adulthood. It's to tell them the truth. And the truth is, perfect attendance, for the most part, is a lie. You don't get anything great at the end of it. Nothing. Not at all. You know one thing I have noticed, though? And one thing I do think we should be telling kids, sometimes the experiences that you have outside of school matter more than what you gain inside of school. That sometimes taking that day off on Tuesday to go do something fun with your parents or your grandparents is a much greater experience than actually going to school and going to class. That's what we should be telling kids. So I'm not here to tell the kid that he made the wrong decision. I'm just telling everybody, perfect attendance, very overrated. And some of you know that. They didn't create happy hour for no reason. Some of y'all be skipping out of work early. Because you know, man, you know what? Screw this job. Screw this job. I'm all right. Go ahead and take off work a little early next time. Telling you, you'll feel better for it. You'll be a happier individual if you do that. Use up all your vacation time. All your PTO, use it. I'm here to encourage you to use it. You'll be a happier person for it. That vacation you've been thinking about taking, go ahead and take it. When you get back, you'll feel refreshed. You'll be a pleasant individual when you get back. I'm going on vacation next week. I can't wait. One of those days, I will not be here. I will be somewhere very sunny. Rob, you know I'm a big fan of the sun. Huge fan. Sun, 100% approval ratings.
You prefer the sun to the snow. Of this, I'm aware.
Oh, yeah. 100%. I can't wait.
We can rule out that Alaskan cruise for you as a vacation.
Yeah, no, I know. I don't think I'm ever going to Alaska. There's some places I don't think I'll ever go, and I'm perfectly fine with that. Alaska, very high on that list of places. I don't think I will ever be. I don't think I'll ever be on those things.
No. I hear it's very scenic, though.
Yeah, I'm sure it is scenic. It's a scene I'll never see.
What about Iceland? Are you going to make the move to Iceland?
Which one can you see the Northern Lights? I will go to that place.
It's a good question.
I don't know which one, if that's Iceland or Greenland. I don't know. I think it's Iceland. It might be. I will go there. I think it's Iceland is green and Greenland is ice. I do think I learned that in school. I was there that day.
You can see the Northern Lights in Iceland. So there you go.
Look at that. I learned that. I was there that day.
Do we still have Icelandic flights out of KCI?
I don't know. COVID might have killed that.
Mm.
Have you tried to look for a plane ticket right now?
Yeah, I'm taking some vacation in June. So it's a struggle.
Wild is what it is. Wild. Whose fault is this? Who can we blame for this right now? Is there one person we can blame for this? Is there like one person that we can blame? Right now, just try to go somewhere like normal. Just say, hey, you know what, babe? I want to go to Vegas in 3 weeks. Just go. And I'm telling you. I'm telling you. It's ridiculous right now. 100%.
I mean, and your flight might get delayed 2 or 3 times.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I mean, there's no guarantee when you book that 10 a.m. flight, it actually is taking off at 10 a.m. You might get a text the night before. Yeah, we're feeling 11:15. Different energy.
Someone on the text line said, C-Dot, you're missing the point about the perfect attendance. The kid grinded out a goal. Even on days that you don't want to go, there's a more viable lesson in accomplishing your goal. You are 100% right. For that part, I'm actually really happy for the kid. Like, the kid set a goal and he accomplished it. I just think sometimes that we all set goals for ourselves, and then when you actually accomplish the goal and when you reach the goal, you realize that the reward at the end wasn't nearly as satisfying as you expected it to be. Like, you would have been much happier if you didn't set that as a goal. That happens all the time. Like, have you ever, like, really wanted to talk to someone? Or, like, really go on a date with that person? And then you finally went on a date with that person? And then you realize, like, yeah, no, this, no, not at all. No. You had a goal. You finally asked Brenda out. You and Brenda had a great time. What for you, though? It was better when it was an idea. Brenda was better as an idea than going on a date with her.
Brenda the concept. Great. Yeah.
No, that happens all the time. Some things are really good ideas until you do them. They're really good ideas until you actually do them.
To be fair, the inverse is true. A lot of ideas you think are bad turn out to be great. Yeah. Maybe you should go to Alaska.
No, I don't have any interest. I don't have any interest.
So the text line says, in July, the sun is out for 23 hours. It's perfect for you.
Okay,
soak up all that sun.
It might be cold, honestly. It might be cold. It might be cold. It probably is cold. I don't have any interest in being cold. Ever, actually. All right, Rob, let's get to the top stories.
The Hits. Getting you caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City on your drive home from work, number one.
Well, as always, the Hits are brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio repair in Kansas City since 1967. Well, the top story today in Kansas City, surprisingly in May, is the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs General Manager Brett Veach went on the Rich Eisen Show earlier this week, and he talked about how this offseason could affect future offseasons.
It just made sense for us to entertain this trade, and when we realized that we can get multiple picks, a 1, 2, 4, 4, and a 6, that this would be a way to hit draft in receiver, throw a ton of resources on the defensive side of the football, and then also infuse money back into the cap, both in the short and long term, so that next year we can be a player in free agency. And so this route that we decided to take, it really opened up what we think are many avenues to improve the roster over the next few years.
Carrington, me and you have argued about this basically the entire offseason, but do you think it was smart by Brett Veach and the Chiefs to fix the cap this offseason so they can be major players in 2023.
Hold on, though. We can turn this down. I think you and I agree way more than Rob. Let's be honest here. There has not been one single move the Chiefs have done that you have liked. I know I'm the one that gets called the negative one on the show. You would not have moved up to trade for Trent McDuffie. You would not have signed MVS.
Karlaftis. I like Karlaftis.
Yeah. They also used their original pick to take him. There's not one single move that you would have that you have been for. So I know I'm the one that always gets negative. You didn't want them to spend any money in free agency. Didn't want them to trade up. You didn't want any of those things.
Seventh round running back. I liked that.
Yeah, you did like that. So this is where I think you and I are. This is the only thing I think you and I disagree on. I am all for using free agency to fill holes on your team. That's the purpose of free agency. The purpose of free agency is you understand that you're going to miss picks, right? I know you want to get these 19 picks. You're going to miss on 11 of those picks. You're just going to outright miss and get nothing in return for them other than the chance to take a really good player. You'll draft some starters. You'll draft some stars. That's what fuels the NFL. But when you get to free agency, you now can go out and get exactly what you need. Other than quarterback, you can get anything you need in free agency. Let's say you need a big-time pass rusher. They're available. Let's say that you need a veteran pass rusher. They're available. Let's say you need a possession wide receiver. You can go get them. That's what free agency is for. You didn't want them to spend any money in free agency. You didn't want them to sign a running back, a wide receiver, nothing. The only things I really asked for them to go do, aside from number one wide receiver, because I did want them to go get Jameson Williams. I'm still on that kick. I still would have gone to go get a wide receiver, but that's not where they went. They need two things now. Veteran corner, veteran defensive lineman. If they get those two things, I'll shut up about it. There ain't really nothing else to say. There's no more number one wide receivers to go get. And outside of that, their roster is pretty complete. Those are the only two holes that I see that they have. We can have a conversation on how much you think those are strengths, but I don't think they have that many holes on their team. But I think maybe where I'm coming from, at least in this conversation, is last year, and typically when they realize that they don't have something, they go out and they fix it, right? When they realize that they were deficient on the offensive line, they went above and beyond to fix it. They have a defensive line problem, and they haven't spent nearly enough resources to try to solve the problem. So we can either complain two times. We can not complain now and then complain in week seven, week eight, when we know it's going to show up and be a problem. Or right now we can tell them, hey, there's still some guys available. Go address it. Go answer it. Go get Jason Pierre-Paul. Go get Akeem Hicks. Go get Ndamukong Suh. I don't think there's anybody listening that thinks their defensive line's enough. We can disagree on wide receiver. We can disagree on corner. I don't know how you can look at this team and think their defensive line's enough based on what we saw last year and the moves that they've made. So you and I are not on as different of a sides that you would think. I'm more on the side of sign people. I don't know what side you're on. I don't know what team you're on when it comes to this.
Two.
You would have nobody but Mahomes and Kelce on the team. It was up to Rob.
Speaking of Travis Kelce, earlier this week, he was part of the Buck cast. I don't know what this thing was called as part of the PGA Championship, but
there's got to be another name for it.
Yeah,
there's got to be another name. Buck cast?
I don't think that's the name of it.
There's got to be another name. No, I'm not saying that's not the name. The people over there has to be a better name than the Buck cast. Maybe the Joe Buck podcast. There has to be something other than the Buck cast.
Well, either way, Travis Kelce was part of the PGA Championship coverage with Joe Buck, and Joe Buck asked him about that 13 seconds when the Chiefs came back to tie the Buffalo Bills.
But the 13 seconds, I remember the Bills called a timeout. I'm looking at Pat, and I'm just trying to be discreet as possible to tell him, hey, if they play it like that, I'm wide open. We get up to the line of scrimmage, and Pat is yelling at me to do it. I'm just sitting there looking at him like, shh, be quiet. You are telling the whole stadium right now that you're throwing me the ball. Let's just keep our composure. I'm going to do it. I got you. And he was right on the money with it. We were making up stuff on the fly, and it was just that's what's fun, man. It's being able to play with a guy like 1-5 and just, you know, make it happen on the run. And just be great when greatness is needed the most.
Well, this season, I don't know how many times he's going to have to yell, Kelce, I'm throwing you the football. We all know. I don't know who else he would throw the ball to this year. Kelce's going to get his targets. Kelce will probably be, what, top 15 in the league in targets? Maybe even higher this year? I can see Kelce having 150 targets this year, maybe more. He don't got to yell, hey, Kelce, I'm throwing it to you. Oh, we know. Everybody knows.
Do you think that moment in Chiefs lore will be remembered fondly in 5 to 10 years? Or will people look back and say, I kind of don't remember that because the Chiefs didn't go on to cash in and win the ultimate prize or even make it to the final game, the final Sunday of the football season?
I think it really depends on how many Mahomes wins by the time he's done. It's kind of the point like you make, Rob. If you coach in enough NCAA tournament games, you're going to have a disappointing exit from the tournament. That's what it is. It's a single elimination tournament. You're going to lose to Northern Iowa sometimes. You're going to lose to Oregon sometimes. You're going to lose to Bucknell or Bradley. Like, that's just kind of par for the course, right? Like, you know that you're going to lose in those scenarios. But the hope is, if you get enough one seeds and two seeds in the tournament, you make enough Final Fours, you get a chance to cut down nets and win really important things. If you got Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback and you believe you're going to make the playoffs 14 or 15 times with him as your starting quarterback, then your hope is that you win the thing more than once. That if Mahomes wins three of these, I don't think we'll spend a whole lot of time talking about Cincinnati. Sure, we might look back and think, well, maybe he should have four or five, but he's got three and nine AFC championship appearances. The loss that happened to Cincinnati is going to happen again. That's just par for the course. Kansas is going to have another disappointing loss in the tournament. That's how the tournament works. So, yeah, I'm not saying that the Cincinnati loss does not sting and that it doesn't hurt and that it doesn't feel bad. Of course that it does. Of course that it does. But I do think that in the pantheon of Mahomes, for the most part, people will forget about Cincinnati and how poorly he played the second half, and they will remember the comeback against Buffalo. Because as people aren't going to really talk about that AFC championship game a lot. People will talk about that playoff game between Kansas City and Buffalo, and that will be the standard for playoff games moving forward. Like, whenever they're debating something on PTI or Around the Horn and they say that's the best NFL playoff game since, the answer is going to be since Kansas City and Buffalo. That was the best game of the NFL calendar last year. And the playoffs were great. Playoffs were great last year. The best game of the playoffs was the game between the Chiefs and the Bills.
Three. Speaking of the Kansas City Chiefs, a player who was on the Chiefs last year but won't be on the Chiefs this year, Melvin Ingram, he signed with the Dolphins earlier this week. We now officially have the contract details. According to Field Yates, he is going to get a $1.67 million base salary, $1.65 million in signing bonus. Basically, he can get a bunch of bonuses, and up against the cap, it's $3.92 million. Carrington, the Chiefs were adamant that they liked Melvin Ingram. They even put a UFA on him, and they thought, hey, one for 1.4 is perfect for Melvin. Now they don't have Melvin in the fold. Do you believe the Chiefs are done, or could we see them try to add a veteran pass rusher?
Let's stay here for a while. I don't think the Chiefs wanted Melvin Ingram back. I think now, seeing the contract details, it's obvious what happened with Melvin Ingram. So, to maybe go really inside football here, I think you got an idea of what a compensatory pick is. I don't need to explain it. But there was a deadline after the draft for free agents that were signed before or after that period. If you were signed after that period, then you don't get a compensatory pick for that player. You don't count in the formula. But by the Chiefs attaching the tender that they did towards Melvin Ingram, if he signed a deal with any other team, then it would count. Or if he was on the team past July 22nd, then the only team next year he could play for is the Kansas City Chiefs. But the Chiefs probably didn't think that he'd be available that long. He's a pass rusher that's got a little bit of juice. He wasn't going to be super expensive. We're not talking about the Chiefs lost Melvin Ingram because of money. We can say that when it comes to Tyreek Hill, that the Chiefs maybe wanted to pay him $23 to $25 million, probably closer to that A.J. Brown contract. And then the Davante Adams contract happened and completely changed the course of really this organization, honestly. Okay. But Melvin Ingram signed for a deal that at most could be $3.9 million guaranteed. At most, less than $4 million guaranteed. That's just not a player that the Chiefs really wanted. You can't convince me that the Chiefs really wanted Melvin Ingram to come back. We know when they've made a competitive offer and when they haven't. The Chiefs didn't lose Juju Smith-Schuster because of money last year. Juju, to me, had three offers that were all comparable, and he chose to go back to Pittsburgh for whatever his reasons are. I don't think that's what happened here in this situation. I think the Chiefs certainly made an offer. We know that. But they didn't match Miami's offer, and they lost out on a really small amount of money. It's a really small amount of money in NFL terms. I don't think the plan was for him to ever come back. I think the plan was exactly what happened. I don't think that every draft pick is designed to get to their second contract. You can't give everybody their second contract. Some players, their value is their rookie deal. Take Clyde Edwards-Helaire, for example. Clyde Edwards-Helaire will probably not play a second contract on the Chiefs. That's fine. He got a 4 or 5 year deal for a very small amount of money to play running back. And then you let him go somewhere else and you move on. I don't know if Melvin Ingram was traded for the purpose of, we want to keep Melvin Ingram. They had a chance to sign him last year. They chose not to. They were happy to trade the 6th round pick to get him at a substantial discount. They got the discount. They got the value out of the player. And now we'll turn around and we'll get that pick back, and we are basically out $250,000 for Melvin Ingram. We don't want to be out $5 million for Melvin Ingram, but we're happy to be out $200,000 for Melvin Ingram. So more and more when I look at how the contract was structured, I don't think the plan was for him to be on the team this year, or the plan was for him to be on the team past last season. I think they traded for and got exactly what they wanted out of him. I think we were wrong. I think I was wrong. I thought they really wanted Melvin Ingram. I would say their actions just don't really suggest that that was a player that they really wanted to keep.
It's pretty clear they're, I don't want to say in my camp, but more in my camp, they valued that pick more than Melvin Ingram coming back. Because where I believe me and them were going to be on the same page, they believe that extra comp pick next year gives them even more flexibility on draft day to move up and down. And while Melvin Ingram was a really good player for the Chiefs, and the pass rush did improve when he showed up, it wasn't like he was J.J. Watt in his prime. So the Chiefs were able to get a pick back. That trade now to get him from Pittsburgh basically ends up being a total wash. I don't think the Chiefs played it wrong with Melvin Ingram. I just think it's odd they talk so highly of him only to lose out to basically no money.
That's just what they do, man. That's just what they do. Their actions normally tell us. Their actions suggested they didn't want Tyrann Mathieu back. Their actions suggest that they didn't really want Melvin Ingram back. Melvin Ingram signed a 1 year, $5 million deal. Regardless of what the tender is, he signed a 1 year, $5 million deal. If you lose to a player on that contract, you just didn't want him bad enough. You just didn't want him, and that's fine. The Chiefs are really betting that they have all their pass rush need in-house, or they know something about Frank Clark that we don't. To me, those are the only really two options. Either Frank Clark is going to be an 8-9 sack guy, and the injuries are behind him, the off-the-field stuff is behind him, or they really like Mike Dana. They really like Malik Herring, and they don't want Melvin Ingram taking snaps or opportunities away from that player. Those are the only real two options for me in this conversation. I mean, I wish they had done more with their pass rush. I wish they had spent more resources on pass rush. But it doesn't appear that they're going to do that. Text line 913-576-7610. C-Dot, wouldn't it be safe to assume that Ingram didn't want to be here either, since the deal with the Chiefs, had he not signed with anybody, it would have been for $4 million plus? I don't necessarily think that's fair, because I made the analogy earlier this week. Let's say you really like working somewhere, right? But we all want to make more money. I don't care how happy you are at your job. You certainly wouldn't mind making a little bit more money. If another company offers you a slight raise and your job isn't willing to match it, to me, your job tells you how they feel about you based on that. If you're making $75,000 and another company comes in there and then says, hey, we'll give you $80,000, and you go to your boss and you say, hey, I love it here, but I got this other offer. If you guys match it, I'll stay. And like, oh, well, we can't really do it. That job has told you that they don't value you nearly as much as you thought they value you. So you're right, I guess, in this. I mean, Ingram could have took less money, but I'm only making $4 million this year. I got to take less money on a $4 million deal? I got to give you guys a discount on the discount? I don't got to give you a discount on the discount. We can argue about paying Tyreek Hill market value. Tyreek Hill's market value is $30 million. Melvin Ingram's market value is $4 million. That's nothing. That's chump change. It's peanuts. You just didn't want him that bad, and that's fine. But I'm not gonna say the player didn't want to be here if you're not willing to match that contract. I just can't go there. All right, coming up on the other side, there was an interesting debate on NFL Network about two future Hall of Fame quarterbacks. We'll tell you what it is next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive, the home for Carrington's hypothetical button game on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Rob, this has nothing to do with what we were going to talk about, but I just want to tell you this. So Jeremy Piven went on a podcast and said that Jamie Foxx wrote and directed a movie that we'll never get to see. The premise of the movie is that Jeremy Piven and Jamie Foxx are LeBron and Steph fans who battle each other all through All-Star Weekend. It has Robert Downey Jr. and Gerard Butler in the movie. We have to find this movie, don't we, Rob? This is a movie you would love to see, is it not? How is this not a thing? What do we need to do to get this movie? I don't need to know anything else. This sounds like a phenomenal film. Two thumbs up. Can I tell you guys a random thing that I have been doing the last, like, 2 months or so? I don't think I've told you this, Rob. And we'll talk about the NFL Network thing, but it's Friday. I just kind of want to tell you this story. So some of you might do this. I do this. After you watch a movie, do you ever go on Wikipedia to learn more about the movie you just watched? Like, I do that. Like, I'm curious about the budget or who they cast or... So what I've started to do, Rob, if I watch an old movie, you can go on Wikipedia and you can watch Siskel and Ebert's review of the old movie. So if you ever wanted to know what Siskel and Ebert thought of Pulp Fiction, you can just type it in YouTube and you can just watch their review on their television show that they had. So I'll watch an old movie. Let's say you watch Speed, for example. You can just go back and you can just see what they thought about it. Everybody has something that's like weirdly into. That's one of my weird things. I almost always go on Wikipedia after I get done seeing a movie, and then I read about the movie that I just watched. But now I've pivoted towards, well, I still do the Wikipedia thing, but now if I watch an old movie on, if I watch an old movie on Netflix, I'll see what Siskel and Ebert had to say about it. It's a very fun activity for me.
I don't know if it's weird. I mean, I basically watch movies, and the minute I get out of them, I head to IMDb and be like, the person who played this minute character, I have to find out what I know them from, or I will not sleep tonight.
I do have a theory on IMDb that I don't watch a movie that's under six unless it gets referred word of mouth. So let's say that, you know, Ambulance. Let's just take Ambulance, for example, right? Like, I've not seen Ambulance yet. I will then type it in IMDb, and if it has a 5.3, I ain't watching it. No chance that movie's good. Unless somebody tells me, you know, hey, I saw this movie, it was good, you check it out. But yeah, I'm a religious follower of IMDb ratings. Six or better. If it's below a six, I'm not watching it. There's too many good movies out there for me to spend a lot of time watching bad movies if I don't want to watch a bad movie. Sometimes you purposely want to watch a bad movie because you got to watch the bad ones to appreciate the good ones. Sometimes you got to watch that stinker so you can really appreciate the great movies. You got to. Do you think that Jurassic Park movie is going to be any good? Because I'm very on the fence about that movie.
I'm on the fence because the second one was no good.
I hated the second one.
It was just no good at all.
Hated it.
The first one was fine. It was basically just like better CGI dinosaurs. But they're bringing all the OGs back. That's got me interested. They're bringing all the people. Jeff Goldblum back. Sam Neill back.
I really liked the first Jurassic World.
You really liked it? I thought it was fine.
I thought it was great. I've seen that first one probably three times. I loved it.
I mean, that's an FX all-star.
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't mind. Yeah. No, you're right. That's a good point. It's definitely a Spike original film. No, it definitely is that. 100%. Someone said, I watch any movie that has Jennifer Aniston in it. Not a bad strategy.
It means a lot of bad Adam Sandler movies, but that's just the game.
Yeah.
I mean, that Just Go With It wasn't very good, and he had that other one, like Valentine's Day or whatever on Netflix.
Did you watch that murder mystery one on Netflix?
Yeah, that was one. I don't know the name of it. No, yeah, I didn't know that. Did you watch it?
I did watch it. Yeah, I did watch it.
That's too bad.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Thanks.
You never watched Kevin James' Sean Payton movie, though, did you?
I didn't. No, I never watched it.
I was steadfast. No.
Yeah, I never watched it. The NBA playoffs have ruined some of my movie time that I normally am like, oh, it's 7 o'clock, I'll just watch this movie, but now it's, oh, it's 7 o'clock, I'll watch Boston, or I'll watch, you know, whatever.
To be fair, they're doing their best to give that time back to you.
No, they...
Because by 8, you know the game's over.
They're doing a really good job giving me 9 back. You know, they're giving me a good... 9 o'clock. No, these games, they've been bad. Another tangent of all this, and I promise I'll play the audio. I know I should have done that earlier. I got to pay off the teases. I watched Horrible Bosses for the first time. Not for the first time, but first time in a while. Because, you know, you're just like, oh, I just want to watch something funny. You know, I just want to watch something funny. I forgot how bad Jennifer Aniston was. I just forgot. Have you ever heard a song? You're like, man, I forgot how good this song was. You know, I had that same feeling when I was watching Horrible Bosses. Number one, it was funnier than I remember the movie being. Like, it was really funny. And then I kind of forgot how bad Jennifer Aniston was. Like, I had seen it before and I knew, but I didn't know until I went back to rewatch it. Yeah, I get it. If Jennifer Aniston's your number one on your list, I understand. I understand. Now, I don't really understand Rob. I don't really understand Rob's number one, but I get it. I get it. That's the movie that I was like, oh, okay. I got it. I understand.
That was probably the last great comedy, right? That or Bridesmaids?
I'm trying to think. That's a...
It's like there've been some good movies. Like, I enjoyed that Booksmart movie, but I wouldn't call it a great comedy.
No, you're right. I really liked The Boys, but I don't think I would consider that to be, or was it Good Boys or something?
The one Seth Rogen produced.
Yeah, I thought that movie was funny. I thought it was funny. I enjoyed it.
I don't think it can be called great if you don't even remember the name.
That's, you know what, you made a good point. I can't debate that.
No one's like, you know what movie's great? Oh, it has they're in a jail. Morgan Freeman's in it. I think it's excellent, but I don't know. Yeah, something goes on.
Yeah, that one movie. That one movie with what's her name? Your girlfriend's good for that. Man, that one movie with what's your name? You know what I'm talking about.
I don't. You haven't given me any clues of who you're talking about.
And then she adds the thing where it's like, well, she's also in the other one. All right. So now she's in two movies I don't know.
Yeah. Then whenever somebody does that, they'll get mad at you for not knowing. You know that one girl in that one movie we watched? You know what I mean. How could I know what you mean? You've given me no clue. Oh, that movie we watched the other day. What other day? I don't know what movie you could be talking about. Someone said Sandra Bullock in Speed versus Sandra Bullock in Blindside. They're two different women. I agree. I think Sandra Bullock looks better in Blindside than she does in Speed. I think Sandra Bullock in Blindside was phenomenal. I tell you, I went to a KU game because the Blindside people were there.
I didn't know that, no.
So KU played SJ. SJ was on, you know, when you guys play those teams early in the season and you just smoke them, you know, you beat them by 50 points. Mm-hmm. Those games are tough non-con games for Missouri, but they're not tough non-con games for Kansas. I went to that game specifically because I wanted to see Leanne Tootie.
Hmm. Did you see her?
She was behind the bench. I didn't meet her, but oh, I did see her. Yeah, no, I saw her. She was right behind the bench. It was just cool. Like, oh, that's a woman from the Blindside. A couple of months ago, it was actually during Christmas. My sister had never seen Blindside before, and I was like, hey, you know, we should watch it. I don't want to watch no football movie. This movie, it's not about football. I promise you'll like it. If you say so. She crying like, this movie was different than you said. Blindside's, you could argue Blindside's maybe the last great sports movie. I don't know. Did it come out before or after Creed? Because I think
before Creed. So Creed.
Okay, so yeah, Creed's the last good sports movie, then Blindside before that. Blindside's a phenomenal movie.
Mm-hmm.
A phenomenal movie. It's not my favorite white savior movie, but it's high up there, though. My favorite white savior movie is Freedom Riders. I really love Freedom Riders.
It's a really good movie.
I love Freedom Riders. I don't know what it is about Freedom Riders. I love it. What's your favorite white savior movie?
That's a good question. Does Remember the Titans count?
No. Their coach is black.
Yeah, but
you know the white savior movie is well off to do white person saves all the black and brown people. That's not what I would consider that movie to be.
That's fair.
I'm thinking of movies like Dangerous Minds.
That's a good one too.
Yeah, to me, Freedom Riders is the better version of Dangerous Minds.
Does Hardball count as white savior?
100%.
Then that's the answer.
Hardball is a white savior. 100%.
Then that's my answer. I love 100%. Hardball.
In the end, though, I actually think what makes that movie so good is they end up saving him in that scenario. You know, they end up changing his life too. That's what's redeemable about the movie, even though they kill the kid at the end.
Spoilers.
Even though they kill the kid at the end. Really sad. That might be the saddest movie death. Someone said, what about Wildcats with Goldie Hawn? That's a good one. It's another good one. Someone said Blindside is the true story, though. It's not made up. I mean, none of these white savior movies are made up. I mean, Freedom Riders really happened.
I mean, sometimes they just put the white savior in there. Like, what was that one movie where they're all working for NASA? They just invented Kevin Costner's character.
Yeah, no, those really happened. Someone said, have you guys seen Bill Burr's bit, White Person Saves a School? Oh, yeah. I mean, I have not seen that. But, yeah, that is a complete genre of movies. There's a bunch of those kind of movies. I love Freedom Riders, though. It's a great... A great film. Phenomenal film. All right, I'm just going to play this because I said we were going to do it and I teased it, and someone here is like they're really mad that we were going to have that conversation about the quarterbacks, and we'll figure it out. We'll do that on the other side. Rob's really mad. I apologize for not paying off the tees. I did this whole workshop this week about paying off teases, and then I just didn't even listen to the workshop. I feel really bad about that. I apologize to you guys for that. We were going to talk about it, and then we started talking about Dangerous Minds with Catwoman. All right, that's coming up next. Keep it right here.
Miss any part of the show today? Catch the Best Of podcast by subscribing to The Drive's podcast feed on 610sports.com, the Odyssey app, or find the link on Twitter at 610sportskc. You're listening to The Drive. Now CDOT's got one extra point.
So the thing we were going to talk about, and I got distracted, and that's my fault. I take responsibility for that, is on NFL Network, they were having a very interesting discussion about whose career would you rather have? Would you rather have Aaron Rodgers' career or Ben Roethlisberger's career? Now, I think the correct answer is Aaron Rodgers. I understand that Ben Roethlisberger has been to more Super Bowls than Aaron Rodgers. I understand that he has more Super Bowl wins than Aaron Rodgers, but I don't think that there's a pretty big gap between one ring and two. I think there's a massive gap between zero and one. I don't think there's a big gap between one and two. Like, I don't really think any differently of Peyton Manning, even though he technically has two, because I watched him play that second year. He won one. He was on the team for the other one. But Peyton has one ring to me. I don't really think that second one is a big difference. Now, I think three is a big difference. Like, there ain't that many people with three. But I think that Rodgers is the more talented quarterback. I think he's better. I think he's had a better career in terms of being an individual player. That I'd argue Aaron Rodgers' career is the one you'd rather have over Ben Roethlisberger, even though Roethlisberger has had the more success out of the two. We have this debate in my group chat, well, we had this a while ago, about whose NBA career would you rather have, Allen Iverson or Klay Thompson? Same concept, same principle. Iverson, iconic, won MVP, cultural icon, Klay Thompson, three-time champion, but didn't have nearly the impact that Allen Iverson had. Same concept. All I want this weekend is to watch a good NBA game. It's been like a week since we've got a really good second half, fourth quarter. The two game sevens were a dud. These games so far haven't been that close late. That's all I want this weekend, man. Can we get that? Please, NBA. Please. Just one close one at the end. There's not been a good run for us the last week. All right, on Monday, we're back. Take care of yourself. But before we get out of here, I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.